Well, our lives have a fragrance. What's the fragrance that you give off to those around? Prayer has a fragrance. The prayers that we pray are an energy that moves through all of life. And many times we don't think quite in these terms, but our sense of smell is very powerful, isn't it? There are some people who have allergies to fragrances, and they like places where people don't use a lot of perfume, et cetera, et cetera. And we recognize that if something doesn't smell good, you know, we don't want to be there. You know, probably one of the most detested animals is that of the skunk. They're lovely animals. They just have a very powerful defense mechanism that works to keep people away from them. But if we think of a fragrance that is sweet-smelling, there's a particular rose that I like. It's a dark red rose, and it has the fragrance of raspberry. That's my favorite. And we recognize that each one of us has fragrances. For some, it's the smell of baking bread. Whatever smell it is that you have that sort of attracts you to it, you recognize that smell probably is not just about the smell, but probably about memories of that smell that are anchored in your consciousness, maybe for decades and decades. But if we think of what our lives are about, that there is a fragrance that as we move through life that we give off to life, and I'm not talking about whether or not you're wearing your deodorant, but I'm talking about a character of consciousness that permeates not only what you do, but even where you've been. We can go into a room and know whether or not there's been a fight there because of the energy residue that lingers. But if we have a consciousness of love, people feel that too. We have, during the week, a man who's on general relief who, as part of his qualifying for that, works about 30 hours a week for us here. And he barely speaks any English, but we were talking the other day, and he says that he loves to come in the sanctuary. He said he hasn't been to church since he was a kid. He says, but it feels good in that room. So he doesn't have a lot of formal ideas about God, about religion, about life, but he knows that he feels love when he comes in here, because that's one of the central focuses of what our church is about, the power of divine love. So to recognize that we leave a fragrance wherever we go. Our founding minister, Reverend Stevens, used to put his ideas about prayer this way. He used to say that when you pray, you get what you are. And whenever I hear that, I'm always so disappointed. Because I don't want to get what I am. I want to get something else. And the key is that if we want something else out of our prayers, then we need to be something else in the midst of our prayers. And so what do we want to be, and how that fragrance will be given off by what our consciousness is? Jesus is recorded to have said in John 19, he says, up until now, you have not prayed. But I invite you to pray in my name, and the Father will give you whatever you ask. Now, when we hear those words, to pray in the name of Jesus, that so many times we grew up in a culture where they would close their prayer, in the name of Jesus, we give thanks. And that can work. But when Jesus is saying to pray in his name, he's not meaning to use his name in your prayer. What he really means, from the Aramaic language, when you did something in someone's name with that authority, if you are sent to relay a message to someone, you say, well, so-and-so told me to tell you this. You're coming in their name. You're coming with their message. You're coming with an energy, with a consciousness. So to pray in the name of Jesus is not just to use his name in your prayer, but to pray from an awareness, from a belief, from a conviction that God is present, powerful, and active, and that's going to make a difference to whatever the appearances are right here and right now. So the key for us in learning about the fragrance of prayer is to say, what's the fragrance we want to give off? And we might choose the fragrance of the Christ. That Christ fragrance, what does it smell like? Well, it's not about what it smells like to our nose, but what it smells like to our soul. The fragrance of the Christ is about love, is about healing, is about peace, is about joy, is about a sense of oneness with God. And as we read in the 8th chapter of Revelation, very interesting. This is the opening of the 7th seal. We've been waiting a little bit. After the 6th seal, there's a little bit of a pause in there. Well, guess what happens when the 8th seal is open? The Lamb broke the 7th seal, and there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. So there's all these things that have happened with the opening of the seals. The four horsemen come out with the four seals, and there's all these other things going on. Now with the 7th seal, there's a space in half an hour. And there's a joke that's been around forever. Someone comes up and says, "I have biblical proof that there are no women in heaven." Because there was silence for half an hour. So even Dr. J. Vernon McGee uses that joke in his time. What is this silence about? Well, if you remember the 7 days of creation in Genesis 1, God was busy on those 6 days, and on the 7th day, what did God do? He rested. 7 represents completion, that we have come to a place of completion where there's been activity, there's been work, there's been trying to make things be the way we want them to be, and then there's a resting in the sense that it's going to be okay. Resting in the sense that God is at work. So if we go on and we get introduced here, then it says, "And I saw the 7 angels that stand before God, and they were given 7 trumpets." Now, those of you who are familiar know that the 7 trumpets, basically all hell is going to break loose in a minute, but not yet. But not yet. Then another angel with a gold incense burner. The other translation says censer. Somebody asked me what translation I'm using. This one is the New Living Translation. I've got about 40 Bibles and about 15 different translations. And I'm using this one right now because the language is our language rather than the language of King James, you know, several hundred years ago. So we had a gold incense burner, and the angel came and stood at the altar, and a great quantity of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people, usual translation says saints, to be offered on the gold altar before the throne. Now the image here, I've got an angel who comes with an incense burner, is given incense to mix with the prayers. Now, again, we have to think partly in the ancient mind, in the ancient Eastern mind, that the idea of a sacrifice was that you would sacrifice something and you would have blood, because there was an energy in the blood of the animal, and you would burn the animal so that the smoke would go up, and as you prayed, the smoke would pick up your prayers and carry them up to God, and God would smell the burning sacrifice and pick up your prayers, and then your prayers might be answered. So again, in the ancient mind, this is the image that they have, that the smoke going up is going to get God's attention, and then your prayers will get God's attention as well. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of the saints ascending up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed and lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Some of the translations throw in noises or voices as well in that. And again, from our Western mind, we equate these with what we call acts of God, which usually means bad stuff that happens to us. But again, in the ancient Eastern mind, lightning, thunder, and earthquakes were signs of the presence, power, and activity of God. We already talked before about the earthquake, rather than shaking things apart, shaking things together. The lightning represents that light of God, that wisdom, that intuition that flashes in our mind. And it seems like it's just a flash, doesn't it? But it leaves a mark. It leaves a mark in our consciousness and we're changed. The thunder is that sound that rolls with an energy, that vibrates with an energy. So again, to turn our attention to that presence of God. And so again, we can think of these as terrible things that might happen, or we can think that these are just ways that they were trying to communicate that when we pray, when we take a moment out of our busyness and trying to make things work, and we pause in that moment of silence, our prayers and the image that they have are mixed with this incense smoke going up to get God's attention. But what happens is that there's an establishment of what we've been about, what we've been thinking about, what we've been praying about, what we've been saying is established, is completed. And so the question again is, what's the fragrance of what's been completed? And maybe we want to do something different to leave a different fragrance for what's going on. There are basically two kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of asking and a prayer of knowing. The prayer of asking is the one that we're mostly familiar with because that's the one that we were taught. In fact, we were taught the Lord's Prayer as a prayer of asking. And it's only as we begin to study and go back to the Greek, we understand it's not a prayer of asking, but a prayer of declaration. And so we have to encounter that prayer in a different way too. But the prayer of asking is, oh God, you know, give me, and then we have our list, right, of what we want God to do. And our prayer of asking is very interesting. There was a little girl who was saying her prayers, and her father went by the room as she was praying, and he listened, and she was saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, doing the alphabet. So when she finished, her father said, what kind of prayer was that? She says, well, I didn't know what to ask for, so I just gave God all the letters. He can put them together any way he wants. So we recognize that the prayer of asking, if we think about, usually we're asking out of pain. This isn't working, God, and I want it to be different. I don't like my life. I don't like whatever it is. And our prayer out of pain leaves what kind of fragrance in our consciousness? Leaves what kind of fragrance in the universe? One of pain. And so when we recognize that it's not wrong to pray that way, because many times that's the way we have to start. Khalil Gibran and the prophet says that if you're going to bring an offer into the ether, your prayers that rise out of pain, also pour into the ether your prayers that rise out of joy. And to recognize that we may not be able to start in joy, but prayer, even the prayer of asking out of pain, will help us move towards being able to experience the prayer of knowing. What do we want to know? What's the fragrance of knowing that we want to give to life? It makes a very different thing. And like the little girl praying her ABCs, knowing that God cares even more than we do. And that God is not just available, but God is present as a power, and not just a power, but as the power of the universe, and that God is present. And as we get into that, and I like to think of, imagine a rose and its fragrance. What's the purpose of that fragrance? My guess is to attract bees. Why? Because it needs the bees to pollinate. So it doesn't say, hey bees, with sounds or words. It says, hey bees, with its fragrance. And you can imagine the fragrance of the rose is most intense at the rose, isn't it? But you can imagine that fragrance, those particles, whatever they are, and science knows very little about how our smelling really works, that those particles or whatever they are sort of float out there, and the bees go, whoop, whoop, there's one, and they sort of follow to where that gets denser and denser and more potent, and then they go, aha, we're here. Well, imagine if we would think of that Christ within us, the presence of God within us, is having a fragrance that our soul seeks the same way that bees seek the fragrance of the rose. And imagine then when we sit in prayer, not trying to get our list fulfilled, but trying to reach fulfillment in that fragrance of God. And to know that our minds, as we try to sit still, are going to do this whole thing of dancing all over the place. As this morning we had a leak in our kitchen, and so now we have a floor that goes like this. We've had damage here and there, and it's being taken care of, and we have insurance and all that. But we have these big heaters with blowers for the last 2 days, 24 hours a day. And so I was sitting down to meditate today. It's worse than the refrigerator. And to realize, okay, I could sit here and be caught up in the fragrance of these machines in the kitchen, or I can let that all go. I can get caught up in, hope the insurance company really comes through on this, to saying, God is here. And I am in God. And I'm going to let my soul seek the fragrance of that living presence to let myself be immersed in that. And so when we do that, when we have that, then there are some ways that we can use that in an active way with our minds. One of the ways that is very powerful for me, and since the scripture references the angels, I think ties in very closely, and that is that when you're having difficulty in a situation, particularly with someone else, to write a letter to their angel. Because, you know, if you try to write to them, they're not going to listen, right? And because you're going personality to personality. But if you go from spirituality to spirituality, you can influence something in a very powerful way. This is the technique that Catherine Ponder writes about, and I've suggested to many people, and just a couple of the results that have happened with that. There was one lady a number of years ago who came to me. She had not heard from one of her sons in over 7 years. And she was just having these feelings that something was wrong in his life and wanting to pray for him, wanting to do something, but was just caught up in something was wrong. So that was the fragrance that was working in her mind, in her heart. And so I said, write to his angel. And write about what you want for him. Yes, you'd like him to contact you and you'd like to know he's okay. But what do you want for him? You want peace. You want joy. You want love. And so that's what she wrote to his angel. And then the second part that Catherine Ponder is you write to your own angel too about what you want in the experience, because realizing that you need some bigger help than you're able to hold on to in this moment. So you write to your angel as well. Well, she came back within a week and a half, her son had contacted her. And he had just gone through a very difficult time, but was moving into a whole new expression in life. And so that letter to the angel made the difference. Another lady in the church who was having a situation with someone in her life.
Tomorrow night, and if not, it's been my pleasure to serve and be served by these truths because I need to hear them more than you do. And there's a saying that we say in India. I'm not from India now, but I feel like at one point I might have been from there. And it's namaste.
I said, yes, I would. There had been a powerful change in this relationship, and not just the way the other person was acting, but the way that she was seeing this person and being able to work with this person, being able to think in a whole different way. And again, with this idea of fragrance, a different fragrance was in her life because she was operating from a different place. Instead of what was wrong, about being connected to what is right. So some other ways that we can look at this too. I mentioned the Lord's Prayer. To me, the most powerful part of the Lord's Prayer is where it says, "Hallowed be thy name." And we know that the name of God that was revealed to Moses is I Am. I Am that I Am. I was doing a presentation one time with a rabbi, and I mentioned this I Am, and he says, it's hard to put into English what that name of God really means. It's not I am in the sense of, you know, I am. But it's just I am in the moment. It's just in that moment. And you can, and if you back off and think about it, it's like you've lost being in that moment. But it's the I am, just moment by moment by moment by moment. He says you have to keep recapturing it because you can't hold on to it. You have to live in that I am with a freshness, moment to moment. And so if we think of what does it mean, hallowed be thy name, God doesn't need us to say, oh, your name is holy. God invites us to experience the fragrance of the holiness of that name. God doesn't need our worship. We need worship. We need to make that connection in our own mind. And if we think of this prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a statement, isn't it? It's not say, oh, may your name be holy. It's say, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. We're not saying, hope your kingdom might come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It already is. We're just looking for it to show up here. And God says, it's already here. Just need to find it. And that fragrance of the Spirit will lead us to finding that completion. Then we have, give us this daily bread. But many scholars say that the word there, give, is the command form. Not, oh, give us, but give us. It's a demand, as a child would come to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, I'm hungry. I want something to eat. And there's an expectation of fulfillment, an expectation that completion is the reality of experience. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we, in the way that we say it in unity, have forgiven. We've already done it, right? It's already in process. It's already working. Are we done with it? No. But we're in process with it. For thine, let's see, daily bread. What's that? Lead us not. Yeah, again, lead us not. So it's not a request, it's a command form. Lead us not, or leave us not, as we say, in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That means right now already. And so praying not out of an asking, but praying out of a knowing, brings a very different fragrance to our experience, to our lives. Years ago, Meredith and I were at a workshop for couples in ministry. And one of the early exercises that we did was to team up with someone else besides your own spouse and to practice listening with someone else first. And an experience that happened that was very powerful for me is another woman was there, and as she was listening, and we were invited, you know, to listen not just with our hearts, but listen with our whole soul, with our whole spirit. And what I felt was as if I had wings of love that wrapped around her as I was listening to her. And that's been a powerful image ever since for me, as I'm listening to someone or being with them, to just stand and imagine that these wings of love, God's love, not my love, God's love, just wrapping around that person so that I don't have to fix them. I don't have to have an answer for their question. I just need to be aware of that blessing of love. And what a fragrance. What a wonderful, delicious fragrance of peace that happens. Again, because if I'm in the role where I have to fix somebody, you know, then there's a part of me that's not listening. I'm, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to come up with? You know, I don't have to do that. I can just be with them. And then whatever question they come with is answered, not by me, but by the Spirit of God. And sometimes they'll get it before I have to say anything. And sometimes I just speak a word and it's as if they already know, because we've had that moment of connection. There was a story that I think somebody sent it to me. An email. I get so much stuff. It's wonderful. This is about one family that had emigrated from Japan and settled in the country near San Francisco and had established a business of growing roses and selling them in San Francisco. They'd bring them in 3 mornings a week. Another family that moved from Switzerland. The family from Switzerland had naturalized themselves. And for 4 decades, these two families were neighbors, growing roses, taking them in. Both these families established a reputation in San Francisco for having roses that lasted a long time after they were cut. Well, at the beginning of World War II, we know what happened to many of our Japanese citizens. They were interred, and that's what happened with this family. Carted away to Colorado. While they were gone, the other family, their neighbors, took care of their rose garden and kept selling and everything. And when they came back, after 3.5 years, what the Japanese family found was that their rose gardens were immaculate. The house had been dusted and kept clean. And this was now, instead of the fathers of the both families, now the sons of the both families that were there in charge. The son turned over bank account to his Japanese neighbor and said, here's the money during this time. And when the Japanese family went into their house, in the middle of the kitchen table was a bud vase with a rose in it from the neighbor's garden. What a fragrance. Not just from the rose, but from a way of life, a way of living. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he says, But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of the Christ. So, do you have a list of things for which you want to pray? I know I do. The prayer of asking is ever present. But to get those things fulfilled, let's shift to a prayer of knowing. And knowing that the fragrance of that living presence of God draws us to oneness. And in that oneness, we will have an experience not just of the aroma of the Christ that comes to us, but we will radiate that aroma of blessing, of peace, of love to the whole world. Let us pray. Dear God, it is in gratitude that we take this moment to smell with our soul and know that you draw us in to an experience of oneness, an experience of peace. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the sweet fragrance of the Christ that lives through us. Amen. Well, as you put the hymnals away, I invite you to close your eyes. And just sniff around your consciousness for a while. There are some parts that are beautiful, and some parts that remind us we need to take out the trash. And again, maybe we've been trying to eliminate some of these things for years. Let's take this moment to be complete in the Christ. And let it be the fragrance of the Christ that dispels all else. And if you have a favorite smell, just imagine that that's the way God smells. And just live in the midst of that fragrance. And if it's the fragrance of flowers, just imagine that you're lying in a bed of those flowers. But let the fragrance, the vitality of that fragrance, be your home. Maybe that fragrance is the smell of someone that you know and just feel embraced in their arms, engulfed in their presence, as a way of experiencing being engulfed in the presence of God. And dear God, we are open and receptive to be drawn into oneness, to be drawn into the fragrance of your presence, that this may be our one reality, that all the things for which we would ask in our prayer of asking be transformed into completeness, into a prayer of knowing that your infinite presence, your infinite power, your infinite wisdom, your infinite love, your infinite life, your infinite abundance are already ours, already at work in the fullness of the Christ is stirring with a mighty power within us. And its fragrance is given off in every direction of every dimension of living. And we see ourselves moving through life as the fragrance of the Christ. And everywhere we go, a trail of blessing. Is left. and with the others' hearts and minds turning to that fragrance and saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So again, we let the fragrance of your Spirit draw us into communion in the silence. Dear God, how delicious is your presence. How deep and powerful is your activity that moves in us. In the newness of your expression through us, we dedicate ourselves to being the fragrance of Christ in the world. Thank you, God. And now let's immerse ourselves again in that fragrance as we sing together the echo version of our Lord's Prayer.
As we forgive.